Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Well, sadly for me, I was actually sick and missed work, but I slept all day and I'm ready to do the podcast. It's Thursday here on Sports Time Radio, and hey, the music worked 2 days in a row. I just realized that. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head over to sportsradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So if you missed yesterday's, you can swing on over there. It's still hanging out for you right at the top of the page. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit the link and self to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. We still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but I think we've given up on trying to figure it out. Don't forget, though, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, humorously, Dan, I was trying to figure out what we were going to talk about first. I thought maybe you'd want to go over the preseason football games or, you know, because I know how much you enjoy them. And, you know, there was some other things. And then I came across this article that says, Jason Worth rails against super nerds that are killing the game. Wow, this is awesome. So, Dan, I'm not a super nerd. I don't believe I'm killing the game of baseball. And, the frightening thing is I almost sort of kind of agree with you here. Do you have a take on the baseball super nerds?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, you can, I don't know, and the part where I agree with him is on the projection. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all human. So you can do all the projections you want, but there's that human factor that comes into play, that while the projections may be down, they, you know, things can go the opposite way and completely turn around. Or, you know, Theo's projections for Edwin Jackson when they signed him was supposed to be, you know, was, I'm sure, a lot better than what it turned out to be, but it turned out to be a complete flop. So they had to trade him or let him go. I don't remember the exact process. But, I mean, I get where he's coming from, but at the same time, I'm more or less confused because he comes out and says that now, and I would say that, you know, he can definitely be unhappy with Scott Boras and company, but, you know, that's what he gets for going with that guy. You know, but I was under the impression from what I read, and I read a really long article on how he was looking forward to retirement and being able to stay home with the kids and, you know, do some, I don't know if he was actually coaching or, you know, working with his son and, you know, his baseball team and all that good stuff. So I really don't know which way to go with it. You know, it's kind of hard to really take a stance on it, but, you know, of course, Scott Boras and company is going to come out and say that they were shopping him around. But I think it is odd for a guy like Jason Worth, not even just a guy like Jason Worth, but for anybody to be, have Boras as their agent to actually be calling teams himself. That I find a little odd. You know, or not even odd, but, you know, when you have the biggest agent whose head is bigger than the game of baseball and thinks that the game of baseball wouldn't even be there without him, you know, I mean, it's hard to say that he was or wasn't, but at the same time, when you're Jason Worth, and your agent isn't going out to games that you're playing in, trying to make a case for your upcoming free agency like he did for Jake Arrieta, I can kind of see where some of the resentment would come from.
Yeah, well, you know, he makes some, you know, I don't know if you want to call him good, but at least interesting points when he talks about the fact that, you know, you could just set the laptop out there and let it tell you what to do. And, you know, he brings up the fact that, you know, a lot of these are guys that have never played baseball, but yet they're trying to tell baseball players what to do. And, you know, like he brought up the interesting point about shifts where he's like, well, I can just punt it over here. And they're like, well, no, we don't want you to do that. We want you to hit a home run. Okay, well, I'm hitting into a shift. You know, isn't that going to kind of be more of a, you know, a derailment for me? But, you know, if he was to bump, well, obviously that screws up their metric.
So,
of course they don't want to do that.
You know, according to Bill James' genius, you're not supposed to bump.
Right. So, you know, but, you know, and even a little odder than this, you know, Cooper Gossett came out and said this back in 2017, but he used a let's call it a little more colorful language to describe the situation, you know, dropping a couple F-bombs, and I think he dropped the, you know, the nice S-word there that obviously Dan and I can say on the internet here, we just prefer not to. So, yeah, it's kind of humorous. And I, you know, I guess I'm really not surprised by the old time guys getting it, but you know, like I said, in a way, I understand what they're doing because in ways it ruined the game for me as well. So I get what he's talking about. I just, you know, it's not going to make any difference though. That's the sad part.
No, it's not. But I mean, you know, it could be one of those where, you know, don't put all your eggs in Scott Boras's basket type of thing, because I must be honest, if you're not as marketable or he doesn't think you're as marketable, you might definitely slide down the totem pole.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? It was clear at 39 that Jason Worth wasn't going to be the client Scott Boras was interested in. You know, no matter what they say or what they're going to try to tell you, you know, unless you're a left-handed pitcher at 39, you're not going to get a whole bunch of looks. It looks like the mistake he made was apparently from the other article I read was he had a chance to sign early in free agency, and Boras told him no to wait. Well, I don't know if it was Boras or one of the agents told him no and to wait it out. And ended up signing with the Mariners in the minors.
Yeah, and that's something we had talked about during the offseason was that philosophy that Boras was out there. And I don't even know if this was actually on Jason Worth, to be honest with you. I do know we talked about it for sure, that just holding out isn't really doing them a service.
Yeah, you know, you wonder if – you know, some guys learn their lesson. I mean, for Worth, the sad part is it cost him basically his career because he ended up retiring after knocking around in the Mariners minor league. I think it was June. But, you know, you look at the seasons, you know, like look at the season Alex Cobb has had. You know, while he was never a top-tier starter, he was always a very good starting pitcher. But by signing so late and missing all of basically spring training, he's been an embarrassment, you know, as a starting pitcher for the Orioles. You know, Lance Lynn was horrible basically right up until the start before he was traded to the Yankees. So it took him till August to get his, you know, his groove on. I think the only one that has actually had any monochrome of success, and he's had his up and downs, has been Jake Arrieta.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I guess you got to wonder if these guys are going to start looking at their agents and go, hey, get me signed.
Well, you know, and that was another thing we discussed was the fact that these super deals that the players are wanting, and I don't know if it's so much the players or if it's Scott Boras, they're not going to happen like they used to. Contracts that A-Rod and Albert Pujols and, guys like that got over, was it roughly 10 years ago, they're not going to throw out those deals unless you're 25 years old or 25 or whatever age Mike Trout and Bryce Harper are coming up on their free agencies. You're not going to get a 10-year, $240 million deal like Albert Pujols got.
Well, yeah, like this offseason, we're going to see it. Bryce Harper's going to get one. Manny Machado's going to get one. Nobody else is getting that deal. All right? Nobody's going to be, jumping up and down, getting 5-6-year deals. It just doesn't – I guess in a way the owners have actually become smarter, when they realize it. And the agents are going to jump up and down and call it collusion, but, it's – owner's money, they should really kind of be able to, kind of send it where they want. But, yeah, it's just nuts to think, we're going to, give this guy who's 35 a 7-year deal for, $210 million, and then we won't worry about it when he's 42 and can't hit.
Not playing.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I actually have to look and see if they have some of the other free agents listed. If there's anybody, who we could expect to get a big deal. So let's see who's hanging around out here. Hey, while I'm looking, could you explain to me why nobody took a shot on Hanley Ramirez for the rest of this year?
No, I cannot.
let's see. Brian Dozier hits free agency as well, but he's not that kind of player. So, while he'll get a good contract, he'll get a monster deal. Cruising through the infield, there aren't any really other infielders. Field wise, there's not too many gigantic names. We're gonna see Adam Jones and Andrew McCutchen hit the free agent market, but they're not big names. AJ Pollock is, another pretty decent name, but yeah, other than that, it doesn't look like we're going to get too many position players. Bumgarner could be a free agent, but you damn well know the Giants are picking up that $12 million option. He's not going anywhere. I know Patrick Corbin has had a good year, but, I don't see monster deals there. There is one other guy here, Dan. If Kershaw opts out, he's going to get a huge deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
So... We do have at least that to look forward to. Your guy Garrett Richard is a free agent. I'm sure somebody will want to pay him to be injured, won't they? Reliever wise, not a ton of gigantic names kind of hanging around. So, as of right now, it's that one hits the market, but we don't really know what he's going to be. Andrew Miller will go out there, but he's 34 now, so how many years do you go with him? So, I really think it's Machado and Harper, just kind of an average group. So it'll be interesting to see where some of that money falls. I mean, do you think anybody besides those two gets a 5-year deal?
I don't think so. I think there might be a couple, and we'll definitely have to look at that through the off season. But I don't see it happening.
So there just aren't really the names out there, and who knows? Maybe that'll heat up the trade market, and we'll get some interesting, some interesting trade talk or something like that going through the through the winter. So, that would be That would be a nice plus one. So, but yeah, just kind of, you know, just kind of thin there, you know, looking at it, it's kind of like, you know, what's, you know, who's going to get what money, but yeah, it's, you know, it's you know, obviously it's always kind of interesting to listen to these guys and, you know, see what they're thinking and stuff. And, you know, like I said, I don't think Worth is completely wrong. I don't think he's completely right. I don't think he's completely wrong. You know, I think there is a you know, probably a place for metrics in the game. I just don't think it should be the end all
be
all. Yeah, you know, that a lot of guys have made it out, and you know, that's how you got to build your team, and you can't, you know, you can't go another way around it or anything like that. And it's just kind of like, wait, really? They're, you know, well.
Yeah, well, you know, I told you I've been finally reading Moneyball, which I'm probably way behind on. The movie's been out for years now. But, you know, I'm going to give you eight guys that were totally supposed to be the top picks for Oakland, you know, based on Paul, whatever his name's computer, based basically on sabermetrics. And tell me what you know about these guys. You know, and these necessarily weren't their picks. 2001, 2002, their first round pick was Nick Swisher, and then Joe Blanton, for maybe or they traded for him. But here it goes. The first on their list was Jeremy Brown, Stephen Stanley, John Baker, Mark Seager, or Tiger, Sean Larkin, John McCurdy, Brent Colomarino, and Brian Stavisky.
These were guys they were supposed to pick?
This was, yeah, this was the top of their list. They did take Jeremy Brown, who, where did they take him? They took him, oh, he was a first-round supplemental. He played five games in the majors. John McCurdy never played in the majors. John Baker played 359 games as a catcher. You know, that he had roughly over 1,000 at-bats. Mark Keeger, nope. Colomarino, nope. Savitsky, nope. Yeah, those are the guys that I can see. So the only guy who really played was this John Baker, who I don't even remember. Well, he never even played for them.
I'm surprised you don't remember him, because didn't he have a cup of coffee with the Cubs and was actually kind of a humor. You know, he had a really good sense of humor, if I remember right. He had a short stint there.
Yeah, actually,
yeah,
Theo, they signed him.
He was just a career backup catcher.
Yeah, he actually played 68 games with the Cubs. His most was 2009. He had 112 games with Florida. He put together, you know, a pretty decent season. But I mean, that was your supposedly one of your first drafts based completely off of Moneyball. And one guy.
That would be embarrassing. Oh God.
You know, imagine if they did never pick, if they didn't get the first round pick from the Red Sox, would they have taken? You know, they picked Swisher in the 16th. He was the 16th pick.
Yeah.
I think they would have gotten him.
Yeah, who knows, right? I mean, that's just, but I mean, that's a ridiculous list, and that was based off of projection, right?
Yeah, based strictly off of, I think it was mainly like on base, I just read the chapter, but I can't remember exactly. You know, it was based off of numbers, you know, that these guys get on base. you know, more than anything else.
Yeah, they had the system on, you know, how to kind of replace guys with guys who get on base and, you know, those kind of things over, you know, how to pay guys or how to grade guys out, you know, what I remember. So, but, yeah, and I believe, like, walks was a big total for them. You know, it was important for a guy to draw walks. So.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and then they made that go throughout the whole, you know, through the whole organization.
Yeah.
Like walks were, you know, the biggest thing, which, you know, it does help, but, you know, they couldn't make that happen with the, you know, the major league team until La Russa was gone. And it's odd that, you know, once the, you know, the new owners came in, I forget they were real estate moguls in Oakland, as opposed to the owner who took them to the World Series, who was willing to spend money frivolously. We didn't really see Oakland as that team that anyone cared about up until that nice little run they had in 2014 when they got John Lester and took over, you know, first place for over almost approximately a year. And then, you know, just kind of faded away again.
Yeah, you know, they've been this year kind of a low average team. They've gotten hot. They've played well. You know, they played well. You know, what they think keep going. You know, as of now, they're a playoff team. But yeah, you know, that's really interesting to me. The five pieces get drafted just. With the exception of Nick Swisher, we're just total bust.
Yeah.
So.
You know, granted.
Yeah, that was a guy. Infancy,
but how has it really changed if you're still strictly doing it off of numbers? You know, I think one of the things is, yeah, you have the numbers because they're all out there today, and you obviously can't go and see every single high school and college player that there is. But when the numbers are what you think they should be, that's when you should be checking these kids out.
Yeah, you know, because, I mean, you know, and obviously with the way, you know, things are spread out, you know, a kid could be putting up fantastic numbers, but, you know, what's the competition? You know, what's the competition level of that league we have playing in? You know, I mean, because obviously all high school conferences are different. No, I mean, is he facing good pitching? Is he not? You know, I mean, what's he up against? You know, if he gets hitting 800, you know, you got to kind of start to wonder if he's got, you know, 9 starts, 7 of them are no hitters. You know, either he's, you know, Cy Young or he might be a weak lead. But, you know, that this kind of stuff doesn't account for that because you haven't seen him. You're just literally. Basically, you're just literally a data entry guy. You're entering data in the computer, and it's spitting back out what the answers are. So. Oh, but all right. Since it is Thursday, Dan, we did have some early games. The Nationals beat the Braves. You know, if the Nationals are going to make up ground, this is how they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to beat the Braves and the Phillies. I don't think they made up any ground on Atlanta, though, because I think they split this series 2-2. But they won 6-3 today. Gio Gonzalez got the win. Wes Parsons took the loss. The Indians beat the Twins 5-4. Andrew Miller got the win. Addison Reed got the loss. And the game I was telling you about earlier on the air, I'll share the story with everybody here. The Padres beat the Brewers 8-4. Kirby Yates got the win, and Corey Knebel took the loss. I was mentioning to you, I was emailing Schomburg Stu back and forth, and they were going into the bottom of the ninth inning, and Milwaukee was up 4-2, and I said, doesn't look like San Diego's going to help the Cubs out because the Cubs are off, so they can't pick up any games on the Brewers. You know, it looks like, you know, the Brewers' closer's coming in, he's going to lock this shit down. Knebel couldn't have been a bigger joke. I mean, you know, I know we've had some relief issues in Chicago and stuff, this was, Dan, this was the definition of the embarrassing outing. And if my computer won't cooperate here, I'll quickly give you his line. But of course, when I need to pull the work quick, you know how that goes. It immediately slows down. So let's see if I can get it here. You know, if I remember correctly, I don't think he resolved it out. So here, let's see what we've got. Yeah, here he is. He pitched officially zero innings, gave up one hit, walked three batters, and was charged with four earned runs. Since he couldn't get it out, they brought in Joaquin Soria, came on next. He got the first batter out he faced. The guy flew out. Wasn't even deep enough for a sacrifice fly. So it looked like there was an outside chance he was going to get out of it. He got up on the next batter, 0-2, and you thought, okay, it looks like he's going to get the second out of the inning. You thought maybe he could even get the ground ball double play to end the game. He missed with a pitch. It was really close, but it was definitely outside. The next pitch, in return, he ended up throwing right down the middle, and the guy hit a grand slam. You know, that's where he was 4 runs came from. They were all courtesy of the grand slam that only to a Hunter Renfro. Then he gave up another run before they got him out of the game. He got hurt actually, and they took him out of the game. Jacob Barnes came in to record the final two outs and ended up giving up another run. That's how San Diego got to 8. Barnes actually gave up a solo home run to, I believe it's pronounced Fermil Reyes. So, yeah, it went from looking like the Brewers were going to pick up some ground on the Cubs to the Cubs picking up a game on the Brewers because their, you know, like I said, their relief pitching was just a joke. Once Knebel got in and just exploded, you know, Dan Jennings and Jim Jeffress were fine. Knebel got in and it didn't look like he'd ever thrown a pitch in his life. Ended up throwing 26 pitches, did not get anybody out.
Kind of guy you
want to close with. So, you know, it was very reminiscent of, you know, like the bad flashback Carlos Marmol days, where for whatever reason, maybe Mitch Williams, who henceforth they called the Wild Thing for a reason. So. But, yeah, instead of, you know, moving to within a game of the Cubs, the Brewers fall to two back. Of course, the Cubs are off, so they don't have anything going on. They do have a pretty big series opening with Washington. So, you know, not the best of luck for the Nationals when they're trying to make up ground. They run into one of the actual better teams actually the best team National League record-wise are the Cubs. So not exactly what the Nationals had in mind, but, you know, if they're going to make up ground, they're going to have to figure out a way to beat them or just fade away. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now if the Nationals don't beat the Cubs and they start falling, is it time to tear it down and rebuild? Sorry, I had to.
You listen. Are you listening to all those sabermetric guys? Because you know they had them tearing it down before the trade deadline. Even though they're only 5.5 out, and they still have quite a few matchups with the Phillies left. I think they play the Phillies 9 more times before the season ends. So, you know, you could be a little ways out and still make up that ground. But, yeah, I'm sure they would love to see, you know, Washington cut ties with everybody. You know, they were dying for them to trade Bryce Harper at the deadline. You know, they wanted that so bad it wasn't even funny.
Yeah, but I mean, they obviously don't understand how the contract negotiations work or any of that stuff. Because if I'm, you know, let's just, because you said the Giants want to go all in, you know, are one of the teams they're going to go for. So let's just take the Giants, for instance. And let's just say the Giants have the number one or, you know, the top five farm systems in baseball right now. So I'm the Giants. And I'm going to take Bryce Harper for, you know, 2 months. Let's just put it at two and a half months. But I'm supposed to screwing up my language because it annoys me so much. I'm supposed to sell the farm for Bryce Harper for 2 months. And, I mean, for Bryce Harper, you would expect, what would you say, 5 to 6 prospects, maybe one major leaguer. So you're supposed to sell all that with absolutely no guarantee that you can sign him, because you're not, you know, your team's negotiation is not allowed to talk to the agent during that time period. If he's still under contract with the Nationals, you'd have to go through, you know, and get it approved, I think, not only by the Nationals, but by Major League Baseball. Otherwise, it's, you know, what the Cubs allegedly did to get Joe Maddon here in Chicago. So that's the route you're supposed to go. You're supposed to just sell it all, hoping that when you sell it all that you can re-sign him in the offseason. I don't understand that logic. Like, I get it. You want to sell – I was going to say you want to sell newspapers, but we don't do that anymore. You want to get hits on your website, or you want to get, you know, as many retweets as you can get, or, you know, however, you know, marketing goes with the internet. But these are guys who've been – this is their bit, you know, sports writing is their life. Baseball is generally their life, but yet they have no clue as to how the process works, or they just forget about it and just start making stuff up.
Yeah.
That, I think that's what irritates me a little bit more. It not even irritates, but it's just like, you know, hello, is anybody home?
Yeah, you know what they always say. It was like listening to, you know, that idiot Dave Kaplan when the Cubs were rebuilding, and he had them going out and signing everybody. You know, one of the things, I forgot which ex-player it was, finally turned to him one day and said, "Boy, it's really easy for you to spend other people's money." So, you know, it's really easy for these guys to sit there at a desk and general manage a team without knowing the situation. You know, I mean, for some odd reason, and I don't know how you and I end up being the voice of reasons with this, because I'm a raving idiot most times, and, you know, you're the calm one with the crazy theories. you know, I don't know how we can sit here and figure out that it wouldn't make sense, and the guys who get paid for a living can't. I guess, like you said, they just want the hits, or they want to be the guy that says, "Oh, hey, remember when this guy said that? Look at that, he was right," even though they don't go back to all the times he was wrong. So
yeah, well, not only that, I mean, you know, let's more recently, the deal that actually did finally happen, that we're surprised, you know, I think everyone was kind of like, "Oh, it did happen," with Manny Machado. And, you know, like you said, every single day of, you know, open trade season, well, I can make a case literally for every single team as to why Machado would be good. You know, and we even talked about it with the Cubs, you know, being close to home, and, you know, that's my team and what have you. But, you know, as exciting as it was to talk about it, we also broke down the fact that it was unrealistic. I would have loved it. It would have been awesome. Completely unrealistic.
You know, with the whole Machado thing, you know, the Phillies came flat out and said they were interested in signing him in the off season because they didn't want to rent him. So I thought that was a fantastic answer when it was brought up to them, just kind of the way they played it off and everything. It's like, "Oh, yeah, we're extremely interested in him when he becomes a free agent."
Yeah. And not to, you know, boast on our podcast, but, you know, we tend that the most logical team for Machado to go to, being with the situation that they have, would be the Dodgers. And look at where he is. But I got to take my couple-minute break.
Oh, so all right. Well, Dan is running away. I can tell you that, FanDuel did not go well last night. I thought I had a really good lineup, and after I heard some of the White Sox game, I heard Luis Severino and Giancarlo Stanton, so I had pretty good numbers starting off. But sadly, that was it. Yeah, the the rest of my lineup just kind of went south of the border there, and I think I ended up with like 127 points, and that was nowhere near what I needed to cash. But we're gonna give it another shot here today and see what we can get going. The league went live. I gotta hunt down the other spot here. Where are we? That's not what I'm looking for. Where are you? Here we go. All right. Now I know I did go. I had a difficult time with pitching today. And, there's just days like that. So I settled on Andrew Suarez of the Giants going against the Pirates tonight. He cost me $7,300, but it allowed me to load up in a few other spots. And then, as you notice, I go through the lineup. I'm very Red Sox heavy tonight, so I'm going to need them to have a good night. But right at catcher first base, I go with G-Man Choi of the Tampa Bay Rays again. Just $2,200, and he's hitting fifth for them tonight. My Red Sox brigade starts with Brock Holt at second base, $2,200. He's hitting seventh for them. We'll keep the Red Sox train rolling here as I go with Eduardo Nunez at third for $2,500. He's hitting sixth for them. Now it's time to spend a little money. My shortstop is Manny Machado, who Dan and I were just talking about, of the Dodgers, hitting second for tonight. Now he's $4,800 because he's in Colorado. Then my outfield, again, loading up here. J.D. Martinez is my first outfielder at $5,000. He's hitting cleanup for the Red Sox tonight. And then my fourth and final Red Sox, because you can only have four guys from one team in your lineup, is Mookie Betts, who's leading off for them. He cost me $4,900. I figure while I'm spending money in the outfield, what the hell, I'm going to go with Charlie Blackmon tonight. He's leading off for the Rockies. He cost me $4,100. I know it's a bit of a risk, but he's been scuffling a little bit. But I like the idea he's leading off. I'm going to get some at bats. Didn't leave me much money for my utility guy, so I had to hunt down a $2,000 player. I just decided to go with the one who was hitting highest in his team's order, because I'm just kind of hoping he'll get an extra at bat and maybe get me a hit. And that ended up being Tyler White of the Astros, who's sitting fifth for them tonight at just $2,000. So we'll see if that strategy works out. I might have to use it again with the lower money guys. But the quick recap, I got Andrew Suarez as my pitcher, G-Man Choi at the catcher first base slot, Brock Holt at second, Eduardo Nunez at third, Manny Machado at short. The outfield is J.D. Martinez, Mookie Betts, and Charlie Blackmon. And then my utility guy is Tyler White. Now, I know the game just started, but you can still go in and make your late swap changes and stuff. So you are okay there if you need to do that. And then home run derby tonight. I think I hit one home run yesterday. I'm never going to win these. When you hit four and you can't win, you got problems. Tonight, I just ended up having some fun. I have Buster Posey, who's hitting second in the Giant lineup tonight. I didn't even realize I did this. I have Manny Machado hitting second for the Dodgers. And then I have Evan Gattis, who's cleaning up for the Astros. So there you go. I got a little mix of everything there, because I believe Mike Trout is still out, and I think I don't think they were playing today anyways. Oh, yeah, they weren't playing today anyway. And the Nationals played earlier, so I could use Trout or Harper if I wanted to. So there you go. That's what I'm running out there for FanDuel. Hopefully we have a better night than last night. We'll see. But yeah, just one of those. Occasionally you have those nights, and then lucky for us, it is NFL preseason, so I know we're all excited about that. And there are a few games here. I believe I saw even locally the good old Bears had a game tonight. So maybe I'll get to see a few minutes of the actual first team. It looks like we got a playing today, except for a couple of teams here. So we can definitely figure out who we want to watch. I can tell you that a lot of these games are just off the floor, so you can catch up. But I can tell you on the NFL Network, the Browns and the Giants are the first teams there. You want to jump on that? That should be exciting. And then the second game on the NFL Network, the Cowboys and the 49ers. So that's a Yeah, that really keeps your interest good. Oh, but yeah, it looks like everybody else is playing the team. The only thing, it's easier to tell you the teams that aren't playing. It's the Falcons, the Jets, the Lions, the Raiders, the Vikings, the Broncos, the Rams, and the Cardinals. Otherwise, everybody. So if you didn't hear your favorite team there, you know they're playing tonight. And Dan and I in Chicago just seeing the Bears are in Cincinnati to play the Bengals.
Yay!
Yeah.
Preseason football.
Yeah, interestingly, Dan, I don't know if you think this is a shot or not, but I heard or I saw one of the guys posted on Facebook that he watched Hard Knocks and they made a really big statement about Baker Mayfield signing his contract and pointing out the basically the clause that Roquan Smith is holding out for. You know, it's basically the clause that says if you're suspended for, you know, violating the NFL drug policy or committing a crime, you know, in those kind of situations, that you would not be paid. So basically what Roquan Smith is telling the Bears is if he goes out and gets busted for PEDs, or if he slaps his, I don't know if he's married, if he slaps his girlfriend or his wife around and gets charged with domestic abuse, he still wants his money. That's basically why he hasn't signed his contract. In the contract, it's described as egregious behavior, but we all know what they're talking about there. So, yeah, you know, at first I thought this was just kind of the Bears being the Bears, Dan, and they were being sticklers for something. But I think this is probably a good behavioral clause to have, right?
Yeah, I mean, they don't call it the National Felonies League for nothing.
Yeah.
Where's the red shot?
Wait, I'm sorry, I'm a little behind there. Hang on, I can catch up. Don't go anywhere.
Sure. Lit up. We need an intern.
But yeah,
cause no.
I know. You know, that's because I was reading something else. I wasn't on that page. But yeah, you know, I just thought it was humorous because it was kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, okay, the Bears look like schmucks here, and they're doing something, you know, that you wouldn't kind of expect them. And then all of a sudden I read that what he wants. And I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe the Bears aren't the bad guy here. So.
Well, no, and when we talked about this previously, last week or whatever, I think before that Hall of Fame game, or is that what the game's called? Whatever, it doesn't really matter. You know, but I told you that I read that, you know, he basically was holding out because, you know, he wanted to get paid if he got suspended on the grounds of, you know, that helmet rule, where if you lead with the helmet or, you know, that his play may be a little too aggressive, so that, you know, eventually he's holding out because he doesn't want to be held responsible for the fines and that sort. I didn't realize it was to the point where he just basically wants to do what he wants to do. And, you know, he doesn't want to be responsible for it, essentially. And, you know, I would like to say to you, Big Jack, you know, how come the Bears, you know, couldn't figure any of this out, but, you know, with all that stuff that goes on in the combine and then all the interviews and all the stuff that I know they do, the in-depth personality stuff, and, you know, it goes on, the list goes on and on. It's easy to kind of talk yourself up and play the good guy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, and there's no real way, you know, when you kind of think about this, I mean, this would be difficult to detect, you know, just talking to a guy, you know, you wouldn't realize that they're this type or that type. And, you know, I mean, and maybe this would be something that he would never have to use, but, and again, maybe he is just really concerned about the helmet rule, but I think you could write that in, or you could adapt it instead of just making it the entire suspension rule wiped out.
Yeah. Well, and, you know
I mean,
a bunch of lawyers could definitely word it to put that in there. And, you know, I mean, we talk about it, and I don't think Dallas, and I don't even know if Dallas is the team that drafted Sam Hurd and went through all that stuff, but Dallas's people and the Bears people, I don't think any of them had any clue that Sam Hurd was trying to make himself a big-time drug dealer.
Yeah. No, definitely not. So, you know, just want to, well, you know, I mean, even, you know, just Cleveland's luck, you know, as things go for the Browns, you know, they drafted a wide receiver by the name of Antonio Callaway. And now he's going to miss, I think, the first four games because he tested positive for marijuana. And not only that, they your favorite website, TMZ, located a video of him actually smoking weed somewhere.
But he's
so
probably on Instagram.
Knowing these guys, yeah, he put it up on his Instagram page because that's what a lot of these dopes do. But, yeah, it's just kind of like, really, you know, and I mean, you would think by now, and I mean, I don't care if they do it. You want to do that stuff. That's all on your own judgment. But you know when you, and the sad part is you know when you're going to be tested. Because, like, apparently he tested positive at the combine. But that's not a suspendable offense. You automatically go into the treatment program with the NFL, but there's no suspension involved. It's nothing like that. So you would think, okay, well, I've got to be careful. And he was still dumb enough to get caught.
I just still don't understand why this is such a thing with the NFL. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think because they're really the only ones whose drug testing are really public, right? I mean, I know the other leagues do it, but it's not as public as the NFL. And again, it's just one of those things. You wonder if it's them because they're the most popular sport, so everybody wants to know.
That could be true. I mean, but I thought that the NFL was working to amend that. And I mean, I don't know where this kid is from again, but it's legal in Denver. So if the entire Denver Broncos wants to smoke weed, you know, after every game, I don't, you know, it shouldn't be an issue. I don't know.
No, I actually, it's probably written into the contract that they, you know, they can't.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it would be a nice thought, but yeah, I don't, somehow I don't think it works out for them. You know, with big, you know, with the big brother, there's not a lot.
No,
there.
But I mean, it's just, to me, with the amount of punishment that these football players go through to do what they do, hey, they can't smoke weed, but they can definitely get put on some addictive pills. That could ruin their life, you know.
So, yeah, I've been saying for years I don't know why it's not legislated and taxed to death. And here, just so you know, Dan Callaway is from Florida. So.
Oh, that's funny. Florida is like the most vicious. You can't do anything around in Florida.
That's because you know that's where all the retirees go. So you know that's you're stuck in that old people syndrome, but. I hope as, you know, I think we're becoming more progressive. I do wonder at times that, you know, someday we'll get past this and it, you know, it won't be, you know, a four-game suspension or whatever. Or at least I think that's what he got. I may be mistaken on that. Like, I know he's playing tonight. He gets to play in the preseason games, which is funny. So he'll get to play tonight. Once the regular season, you know, he's no dice.
Yeah, but see, does it show you how stupid that is? Like, you know, if he were to, you know, backhand his wife or girlfriend or whatever, and I'm not trying to make light of that, he wouldn't even be allowed to be hanging out with the team. But the kid got tested positive, smoking weed. Oh, well, you can still do preseason. We don't, you know, that's okay.
Yeah. Now, humorously,
you
don't completely you brought that. When the regular season comes around, he won't be allowed to interact with the team for those four suspension weeks. He's okay right now. But once, yeah, once the season starts, well, then it's a different story. Then, you know,
is
you
that
can't have this guy around.
Is that like the old, you know, mafia? When they get out of jail, they can't associate part of their parole with the team at all?
Yeah. So, yeah,
they get another
definitely.
Game?
You know, just kind of how it works out there. You know, you got to stay away from everybody and all that other fun stuff. You know, but yeah, I don't get it. You know, you think they would have a I shouldn't say I don't get it, because you know, if they didn't do something, you damn well know it would be the lead story on every sports show across the country. You know,
Oh, yeah. Oh
my God. And they didn't, you know, even though he wasn't arrested or anything, and, you know, there are no charges or anything like that. So, yeah, but yes, if the NFL does not come out and punish him, they are the bad ones.
Four games.
Yeah.
Four games.
So, well, I think that's just the natural one they came up with. So.
I can see one, maybe two.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, their CBA is coming up, so I'll be interested to see if that gets changed. You know, because I know I was laughing the other day when Aaron Rodgers came out. They did the thing with him saying, if you were commissioner for a day, what would you change? And he mentioned that he would like to see them go with an NBA style of salary cap so the players could have contracts like the NBA players do. All right, now I get that it's a tough sport, but the NBA guys play 82 games a year. You play 16 in football.
Well, no, and I get it. You know, the NBA, the NFL, they're all money makers, and you know that's something. I don't know where we'd find those numbers. I guess we could, you know, search the Bing machine and get points for ourselves and figure out what kind of revenue the NBA. Is generating versus the NFL, but at the same token, an NBA team only has, what was it, 12 guys on a team?
Yeah.
The NFL has like 700 people that play. I get where he's coming from, but it's just not feasible. That means Aaron Rodgers is going to make, you know, $50 million a year, but the guy hiking him the ball is going to make, what, minimum wage?
Yeah. You know, and it's not like quarterbacks aren't well paid anyway. So
no, but you know what I mean. I mean, the guy, you know, what do you do for a living? As he's driving an Uber around. Well, I'm the hiker for, you know, Aaron Rodgers. What are you doing driving me around?
I'm the center for the Green Bay Packers. So
yeah.
You know, that's the next YouTube video waiting to happen. You know, yeah, I'm the center for the Green Bay Packers. Uber. In the off season. Well, hey, you know, remember back in the day, you know, baseball players needed off season jobs. So
no, I mean, but I get where Rodgers is coming from, but you have to be a little bit more realistic. And I mean, let's be honest, I think they do get a little overpaid in the NBA.
Yeah, well, you know, to be fair, I mean, all the big time athletes are overpaid to play a game. You know, I mean good for them. I mean, you know, if you can make the money, make money. You know, I mean you're a small fraction of a percentage of a population that can do it. So
yeah, and I'm still trying to figure out how a team like the Atlanta Hawks can just trade for a guy like Carmelo Anthony and then dump him and have $24 million on their books for this season. I just don't understand that portion of it. Trying to investigate.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard because the NBA CBA is about 650 pages. Looking at it this morning. I was looking at it this morning, oh man, this one is rough. It's definitely deeper than Major League Baseball's. They've got a lot of provisions. And yeah, you know, you definitely need to go to law school to understand lawyer speak.
Yeah. But But yeah, you never know. Maybe it was just kind of something that, you know, if maybe they caught him by surprise and, you know, he wasn't ready to answer the question. So, you know, or, I mean, you know, it might have been one of those things where he was just kind of like, well, that wasn't what I was thinking. But, you know, it's just kind of, you know, and then, of course, you know, the next thing they all want are guaranteed contracts, because that's the one thing the NFL has that the other, you know, the other sports don't have, is, you know, non-guaranteed contracts. So.
Yeah, I mean, can you argue with that one, though?
No, you know, I mean, I can understand why, you know, you would want that security, especially in a league where your career is far shorter on average than any other league. So, you know, I definitely get one.
And to that, I mean, I think it would stop NBA's NFL teams from making just outlandish deals. I mean, Brock Osweiler, there you go. But not only that, the one the Bears made. You know, and they still can't justify why they did it. Can you imagine if they made that deal and then had, you know, week 8, what's-his-name is out and Trubisky's in, and now you're stuck with a kid for 4 years getting paid, you know, what was it, $14 million
a year? Oh, yeah. You know, that's, you know. So.
I mean, good for that kid from Tampa. I mean, I wish I was him. And, I mean, I would have taken, you know, just $1 million to get my ass kicked for 8 weeks or 6-7 weeks. I don't know if they had an early bye, but.
Well, you know, that and the fact that, you know, he got signed by another team, so he's going to get paid this year, too.
Wow.
So.
Poor Kaepernick.
Yeah, you know, just kind of, you know, one more thing, you know, just didn't go his way. You know, he couldn't even get picked up as a backup. But, you know, that's part of the problem. I think, you know, they said it once before. Nobody wants a backup who's going to draw that kind of attention.
No. Well, and, you know, and I think that's why he's not going to win his collusion case. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure there'll be something that'll go towards his way, because can you imagine the uproar when it all comes out? Spike Lee's going to be marching down something in whatever street in New York. But, I mean, at the same time, can you imagine the BS this week or tonight would have on the team that Colin Kaepernick would be essentially playing for? Or the BS at every week for training camp?
Yeah. So, you know, and that's what I can't remember. I think it was actually a Cleveland Browns offensive lineman. It might have been Joe Thomas who pointed that out. And it's just, you know, while obviously he's good enough to play, you don't want that attention. You know, and I mean, that makes, you know, I mean, in a way it makes total sense. You know, I mean, you're talking about the guy who's your backup. You know, you don't want the media swarming around the backup quarterback's locker while you're, you know, you got everything else going on. So, you know, but, yeah, you know, who knows? Maybe, I'm surprised he didn't end up in Canada. You know, he could have played there. I don't think they would have had an issue. Would he kneel for the Canadian national anthem, Dan?
Maybe because it's so long. After a while, you're just kind of forced to.
Of course, I'm radio.com.